The conference will now begin.
Okay, hi. We're on page Kuf Lamed Tes in Das Midasecha. Kuf Lamed Tes. And we're learning about a Mida that affects us in many ways, usually not in an obvious, overt way. The Mida of Achzarius. And we're on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Tes, which says, Kan Megiya Be'etzem Mahalach Amoik Ad Ma'od. Kan Megiya Be'etzem Mahalach Amoik Ad Ma'od. It's a very deep Mahalach. Yesh Nachzarius Shenavas Mi Mamaki HaNefesh. And I said before that one doesn't always recognize the Achzarius within himself. And even when it comes to Achzarius, there's also an Achzarius of Kedusha that's holy. He spoke a little bit about one of the descriptions or one of the requirements of the Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says in Erevin is that the Talmud Chacham is Achzari al Bonav al Bnei Besak Erev. There's a certain type of an Achzarius of Kedusha that the Talmud Chacham must possess in order for him to be able to become a great person. It doesn't mean the kind of cruelty, and that's why the word cruelty is really not so accurate, but it doesn't mean chas v'shalom, one that's motivated by greed or selfishness. But anybody who wants to accomplish something great in this world has to be, in some way, on some level, there needs to be an Achzarius. There needs to be, in some way, a certain removal of oneself, to some degree, a removal of oneself from the usual playing field of life, of this world. Can't be sitting around all day long with the children and grandchildren. Can't be spending his free hours shopping with his wife or shopping with him, whatever. Is a certain Achzarius. So kan megiya be'etzem mahalach amoik ad ma'od. Yesh na'achzarius shenovas mimamakei ha'nefesh. There's an Achzarius that comes from the depths of the soul. She'odem minutak mehametzius ha'gashmis v'chai be'olam ruchni. Of course, there are a lot of people who, vis-a-vis other people, they practice a certain mida of Achzarius. But when it comes to themselves, they're not depriving themselves of the pleasures of this world. If there's a person who wants to be a great Talmud Chacham, and he doesn't have time for his wife and his kids, he doesn't have time to help at all in the house because he wants to be a Talmud Chacham, but he's not cruel to himself. In other words, there's no Achzarius as far as his overindulging in physical things. So then that's not a true Talmud Chacham, and the Achzarius to his wife and kids is not coming from a holy place. He just has an excuse not to be bothered, but it's not an Achzarius of Kedusha. But you have a person whose Achzarius is coming from such a deep place. Where a person is detached from the physical world and is living in a ruchnistic metzias. Moshe's shleimus. That's not necessarily the shleimus of what Hashem wanted. L'chein v'emes v'isi b'nei aliyah v'hein mu'atim. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that there are very few B'nai Aliyah. Ben Aliyah chai l'mala. A Ben Aliyah, there are certain people that, I spoke about this last year in one of the shiurim. A Ben Aliyah occupies a higher place. The word aliyah means, of course, to ascend, la'alos. But in a house, you have the ground floor and you have the second floor, the third floor. If it's a building, you could have many, many higher floors. In the Lashon of Chazal, and even in Tanakh, an aliyah means a higher floor. Habayis v'ha'aliyah means a higher floor. There are people who live, very few. That's what Rabbi Shimon said even in his time. Ra'isi b'nei aliyah v'heng la'atin. There are very few people who occupy a higher space in this world, who live on a higher floor, for whom this world has no interest, who are detached and disengaged as much as humanly possible from matters of Olam Hazeh. And Rabbi Shimon said, Ra'isi b'nei aliyah v'heng la'atin. Ben aliyah chai l'mayla. There are these extraordinary people who live on a higher floor, but just not on the same floor with us. Rabbi Yishuv Zar, l'masha kari kan l'mati. Remember the word achzar has the word zar, it means foreign, strange. For these b'nei aliyah, the things that get regular people excited and worked up in this world, the food, the attractions, the fun, the money, and so on. For the Ben Aliyah, all of these things are zar. They're simply strange to him. They're foreign to him. Huzar l'mashakari kan l'mata. Mikoch kach mezgalu kivyochel azarius. Now, because of that, when you look at this person's life, the person's life is his way of living is one that contains achzarius, because since he really is not comfortable in this world, he's not really at home in this world. He lives on a higher floor. This is not his world, so to speak. I mean, obviously, to some degree it is, but he's such a ben aliyah that he's not comfortable. He's not comfortable with, let's say, hanging around and schmoozing, you know, with friends. That's something which to him is foreign. It's strange. Why would I be interested in sitting around and stop talking? What's that about? Now, in the eyes of the world, this person is an achzari. He has separated himself. He's made himself a stranger. I remember Pesach time, there was a student of mine whose family went to a Pesach program with a very modern crowd, and there was mixed swimming by the pool. And he didn't know what to do. He was in the hotel room. And his parents and one of the siblings kept on sending him text messages. And it went something like this. Why are you being so strange? Why have you made yourself into such a stranger? These Lashonos. In other words, our family enjoys the pool. We sit together at the pool. And we paid a lot of money to be able to have this opportunity to enjoy the pool, the Pesach pool. We spent a lot of money. And all of us are enjoying this time together as a family. And you're a stranger to us. You have made yourself into a stranger. And you're behaving in a way that's strange. So the boy, over the year that he is in yeshiva, is trying to become something of a ben aliyah. He's trying to move to a higher floor. His parents and sister live on the ground floor, and to him, going to the mixed swimming thing, is maybe at this point it's not foreign. He's still certainly attracted to that. It's something he was raised with. But in the eyes of his parents and his sister, he's strange, and he's become a stranger. He has distanced himself from their world, and he seems like a czar. Zion Reish. Ben Aliyah Chai Lamala, Rav Yeshua Zar Lamasha Kari Kanamata. I spoke to Chever about this recently, to some young Rabbanim, that something that we see very often, that you have boys or girls, they come back from yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, and the parents do not understand them. They're beginning to speak like a different language. The parents are not B'nai Aliyah. Maybe they were when they were younger, but it's a long time since then. And they occupy a certain space on the ground floor of this world that they've mapped out for themselves, and they're comfortable with that this is who we are. Now the kids come back, and the girl wants to dress differently, and the boy wants to learn more, and the parents often go mamish out of their kelim. Now, if the parents were themselves raised among B'nai Aliyah, and they've seen it with their own parents, or at least with siblings, or even grandparents, so they've seen this, they're familiar with it, so it's not entirely foreign to them. But in our generation, we have so many that's already second, third generation, but you see that the kid comes back, the girl wants to dress in a way that's sanua, and the boy wants to really invest a lot of time in learning, and the parents just can't get over this. They simply don't understand. Now, the problem here is not that in their eyes the kid is improving in his Yiddishkeit or is opting for some sort of an upgrade in his Yiddishkeit. The kid is like to them is a stranger. I've had parents tell this to me, that my own son is like a stranger to me. And I'll ask, what do you mean, he's a stranger to you? And because he doesn't go to the pool? Or because he wants to learn more Torah, he's a stranger to you? Or your daughter's a stranger because she wants to wear a pair of stockings or something, and she wants to wear long sleeves, so she's a stranger to you? But this happens very, very often. The kid is a Ben Aliyah. The parents are not. And because the kid is a Ben Aliyah, he doesn't occupy the same space. Now, I explained back then that if you're living on the ground floor and you sometimes just stand on a chair, that you still are on the ground floor. Because you might have some moments of inspiration or elevation, but you're not a stranger to the world. You're still occupying your regular space on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Tes. You're occupying your regular space, and in your regular space, so you get onto a chair. So if you live on the ground floor, and your idea of being a Ben Aliyah is that every now and then you climb on a chair or you stand on a table, that doesn't make you into Ben Aliyah. It just means in your world, right now, you're feeling some inspiration. It could be it's a Yom Kippur, it could be it's a Simcha. You're feeling, so you're in your world, but you're standing on your chair, and the next day you'll be, the Simcha's over and Yom Kippur's over, and you'll be down from the chair. What's happening is, though, that when the kids come back from seminary or from yeshiva, they're not standing on a chair in your world. They seem to have moved to a different floor. They have a different view. It's not the same floor. You're looking, the parents are looking at Yiddishkeit and at the world from their window, which, for whatever reason, that was the choice that they made, or just by default, that they've settled in a certain Yiddishkeit. In their Yiddishkeit, men and women swim together. In their Yiddishkeit, women don't cover their hair. In their Yiddishkeit, they dress in a way that's not particularly tender, and so on. But for whatever reason, that's the that's the place that they occupy in Yiddishkeit. Kid comes back from seminary. The girl comes back and she's not wearing, she looks at her closet and she's disgusted with it and she won't touch any of the old outfits. And her mother is beside herself. What happened to you? You're a stranger. You are a stranger. And then sometimes you have these parents that will start saying, how could you do this to me? Then I get personal, like, you're being an achzari. You're being terrible to me. How could you do this to me? And the kid doesn't know what to say because the kid can't explain to mom, she can't explain to mom, Ma, I love you, but I just don't live on the same floor that you do anymore. I visit, I'm trying to be respectful, but I just learned that there's a higher floor and I want to be on that higher floor. So I love you and I'm not trying to disrespect you. You have to be very careful. I'm not trying to disrespect you and I'm not trying to make any great statement about what you should be wearing or whether you should wear a dress or you should cover your hair. I'm not telling you what to do. But I now move to another floor. I'm a Bas Aliyah. You're not. And I have a different view. From my perspective, I have a different view. It's not like I'm in your world and I'm standing on a chair. You know, when you have somebody that's not Jewish, let's say if it's babysitting or something and it's Shabbos, and they don't understand how, like, why can't you just this one time, you know, why, you know, just because there's nobody around, if there's nobody around, then you have to get, you have to get to the drugstore, whatever it is. So, like, why can't you just this one time drive, you know, just one time? So, or the oven went off, like, why can't you just this one time turn it back on? Because from their view, they see it as something also that's interesting and it's special, but it's like they think that you're in their world and you're just standing on a chair in their world or a ladder, like someone who's changing a bulb. But that's not true. You're a Jew and you're living in not another floor, you're living in a different building. It's just altogether a different building with a completely different view. Now, when that happens between you and somebody that's not Jewish, that's okay. It's happening between you and your kids. That's when it gets really sticky. And that's when there's this feeling of my kid is a stranger to me. It's a stranger. It can go the other way. Chas v'shalom, the kid goes off. Ultimately, go the other way. But you feel that the person's a stranger. So, Zuvi ha'achzarius sounds 5-6 lines up. Zuvi ha'achzarius shal tamul chacham anavas mehayosa zar l'mash mishvachish bolam. See, the tamul chacham, not just talking about a smart guy. That's not a tamul chacham. Talmud Chacham is a person who lives on another floor. He occupies a different space. He has compassion on all of us who live in the basement and whatever. And he tries to understand us. And he tries to relate to us. But that's not his element. He lives on another floor. And he has a different view of things, not the same as us. The way the Talmud Chacham looks at things is not the same. He occupies a different space. And that's why, in certain ways, there's an achzarius, because he's a stranger in this world. And so people around him are saying, like, why are you being? It's enough, you know. It's one thing that you're being cruel to your own wife if you sit in base medrash for 14 hours a day, or like Rabbi Kiva, that you go away for 12 years at a time, you know. But what about yourself? At least be kind to yourself, you know. Take an occasional trip to, you know, a vacation to enjoy, or go to some sort of a, you know, restaurant where you could really, really dine, you know, in an enjoyable way. So I'm okay with this. So the Talmud Chacham doesn't. So the people think that the Talmud Chacham is being cruel to himself. It's bad enough that you're cruel to everybody else. And thank you so much, Scott. I've had experiences here in the shul where there were people who, thank you, where there were people who were men who, for the first time in their lives, began davening shacharis on a regular basis. They began going to minyan. And I've had, this is more in the early years, not since it's become Baruch Hashem much better, but in the early years, and there were women who complained to me, and I recall on more than one occasion that it's not nice. The wife was saying that it's not nice. I'm here with a child in the morning, and my husband goes to shul to enjoy himself. Maybe any of you have an idea. How do you reach this person? She's in another world. Now the husband is now moved to a second floor. He wants to daven b'tzibur, but oftentimes that leads to other things like not wanting to go to the same shows or same clubs. And she's downstairs and he's upstairs. And this is serious. She feels that he's being mean to her. And he's saying, well, I love you. I'm not doing this to hurt you. I'm doing this because I'm trying to upgrade. I'm trying to have a higher, more elevated life. And I'd love for you to join me. No, you're being mean. How could you leave me like that, going to shul in the morning? She says, I know. I'm sure there are 40 other men with me in the room, and I haven't heard that they maybe they do. I don't know that they have every morning a fight with their wife. How come they're going to shul? Because she's looking at the world from her perspective, and from her view, on the ground floor, the husband is not chazar. The husband is me. The same reason, meaning he decided I'm not going anymore to the movies with you. How mean is that? Can we find some other way to spend our time that would not make me have to compromise and feel uncomfortable? That's mean. I've heard that word being used. It's mean. It's cruel. It's not chazarius. It is. She's totally right. Because he now sees the world that she occupies as strange and foreign. And she sees his new way of living as strange and foreign. It could get serious. I mean, people have gotten divorced over things like this. It could get serious. So that's the meaning of Achzarius in this context. Zuya Achzarius al Tamukhochim Hanavas Meyazo Zala Mash Misfachish Ba'ulam. Would you say to Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky, you had the schus to go visit in Bnei Brak to go visit Rabbi Chaim, and you had the opportunity to spend more than 10 seconds. You were there for 2 minutes by Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky, of course, and Rabbi Chaim looks at you and says no, and you say to him. I have an issue in my life that's unresolved. The guy translates for you, or if you know Hebrew, and Rav Chaim says no. And you say, I'm not quite sure at this point in my life whether or not I'm a truly committed Yankee fan or perhaps Los Angeles Dodgers. So he wouldn't know what you're talking about. And why is this? Two Jews should be able to always know what they're talking about with each other. It was in Reb Chaim's world, if you talk about Gemara Rashi Tosis, if you talk about a Rambam, or you talk about a Maral, or you talk about, even if it's something they might not want to talk to you about, like a Kabbalah, he might not want to discuss with you, but you're in the same ballpark. We share a common language. We're talking the same language. But when you speak to Reb Chaim, and you bring up the subject of the Yankees, or something along those lines, he doesn't know what you're in. What is that? What is that? Now, to the extent that you and I discuss things and think of things that would be foreign to Reb Chaim, there's a problem. It's not a problem with Reb Chaim. It's a problem with us. Does that mean that there's anything evil about a baseball game? No. Does it mean when Mashiach comes that baseball is going to be the union that it is now? The answer to that is also no. It's not going to be. Not for us. Now, this person might, if he doesn't know what he's doing, he might, give Reb Chaim Kanievsky a slap in the back and say to him, "This is a story, Rabbi. You're depriving yourself of something. It's really enjoyable." It's a totally different world. It's a different language. It's a different language. It's if you stop watching television for a few years and you happen to be someplace in the airport or wherever and there's something that goes on, you see it from the second floor and it's silly. It's just not your language anymore. The same way when you grow up and you see children, and you're with children and they're playing or they're fighting or something, you're not living anymore with them in that world, in that space. You've grown up. So that comes across as achzarius, that you are now a stranger. You're a stranger, and from your perspective, from your view, you seem to them to be strange, and they seem strange to you. Mikoch kach mezgal kivyach lazarius. Zuyach zarius shal talmud chacham hanavas miyos lazar l'mashim sanachesh bolim. Zuyach zarius de kedusha. Yach zarius of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he should be well, snach zarius of holiness. He's a stranger to the world. Yes. And you might say to him, Rabbi, I really disagree with you. I don't feel that it's right. And how could you really consider yourself to be an educated man if you didn't read today's Wall Street Journal? I've heard that kind of stuff too. And Reb Chaim says, I would say to you, I never heard of the Wall Street Journal. I don't know what you're talking about. And you would feel that he's depriving himself, he's crude to himself of something, and something that an intelligent Jew should be Isaac in. The Talmud Chacham is Achzarius comes from, there's a Zar Lamash Mesrachish Ba'olam. What's Mesrachish Ba'olam is happening in the world. To him, that's not his world. I once told you a story that Reb Chaim Shmulev is Echad Sadeh Rav Rocha. Reb Chaim Shmulev was on the boat. He was going from China to the States after the war. And it's a long ride on the boat. And there's days after days and days of just ocean, more ocean, more ocean. So it happened that once Reb Chaim was standing on the deck and he was leaning over the thing, looking out to the water, and he was staring out at the ocean, and there was another person that stood next to him, and he said, Rabbi Shlom, where are we? Where are we? Like a week just of water. Where are we? So Chaim said, we're in the second Shmites of the fourth part. And that's where he was. He was in the Shev Shmeitzah, and he was thinking about that place in Shev Shmeitzah. And when he was asked, where are we? He wasn't being cute. He said, we're in the second Torah. That's where he was. We're in that place, in that Shmeitzah, in that Torah. That's the world that he lived in. You know, when a person goes to shul, there's a lot to talk about this Indian, even though Schwartz is not elaborating so much over here, but a little bit. For the whole day, a person only spends a small amount of time in shul, unless you're learning, you know, you spend a small time in shul, and the vast majority of the day you spend at work in shul. But at the end of the day, the question is always, what world do you occupy? What's your world? What floor do you live on? When you have to deal with people at work, and some of them are not the finest chaver, and have different ideals that you have, how comfortable are you? How uncomfortable are you with that? Do you feel that that's your world? Do you feel that that's your world? My mother. Well, excuse me for a second. Sorry about that. My mother called. So, a person has to feel confident, knowing that even though I'm only in shul for an hour, whatever, but that's my world, the place that I live, my family, my wife and kids, my home. That's the world. That's the space that I occupy. That's my world. Does that mean that when I go to work, I visit. I'm visiting. But who I am, I'm the person in shul, I'm the person at home. What I do for a living, I go to work. But that's paying a visit to, a floor down below. But I never, ever, for a moment, forget what my world is. And as long as I have that perspective, I'm careful who I speak to, how I speak, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Even when I'm down there in the basement, or sub-basement, I'm careful because it's not my world. I'm a foreigner. I'm just visiting. And because of that, you're going to be perceived by the people at work as being achzar, a strange person. How come you don't sit with the rest of the chevra at the Krasnov party laughing and telling filthy jokes while having a beer? Like, what's wrong with you? How come you're not hanging out at the bar after work? You're not part of us. You're not really one of us. You're not really connected, not really a team player. All of these lashanas that I'm always hearing from chevra who are struggling with work, especially during the winter vacation, that time. So my answer to those is, Ashrechem, Ashrechem, that they see you as a stranger. Do you feel that you're a stranger? You need to feel that you're a stranger in that place. Because you occupy a higher floor, a different floor. So that's the achzarius of the Talmud Chacham. If he's not married to a girl who's on board with this, it's bad. If the Talmud Chacham is married to a girl who lives on another floor, that's bad. That's bad. And that's, you have these people, they feel bad for Rebbe Kanievsky. They felt bad for him. Like, what kind of a life is that? What's that like to be married to a person who's just learns all the time? And she was, the most excited, happy person in the world. But that's from her window. But when you look out from your window, now, my husband doesn't want to go surfing with me. We don't go to aerobics together. We don't go to shopping in Bloomingdale. I don't know if Bloomingdale's exists. We don't go to Bloomingdale's together. I've had women that have told me from the shul that I can recall once or twice over the years that how is this that my husband doesn't want to come shopping? So he's mean. That's already something which is cruel. He's not a loving, caring, compassionate husband. Because if he was really caring, then he would know how important that when I try something on and I come out, he says, "Oh, you look so beautiful." And today I'm being a little bit hard on the ladies. It's 90% I'm hard on the guys, but it's a feeling of being a stranger. But it's not chazaris de kedusha. It's rooted in the holiness. But Rav Schwartz, it's important to look at the brackets. Kamuvana dain mutalav lahalbish is atzam gam olam belinak gavidis arachna. Rav Schwartz is saying, of course, I'm not saying that a person shouldn't have rachmanis. Of course you have to have rachmanis. And you have to enclose yourself in such a way where you don't appear to be crazy to people and that you could have rachmanis. Some people are not living in the same floor with you, but they have rachmanis and to understand them. And maybe that Talmud Chacham, the wife doesn't get it. He does need to take an occasional trip to Bloomingdale's. We're not going into that, but of course, Hashem does not want a person to live without rachmanis and not to enclose himself in a way that he appears to be among other people with somebody that is not strange. That could cause very, very, very negative, on many levels, that could be very destructive. And therefore, the true Talmud Chacham, has to often, get an Academy Award for acting, for acting and pretending that certain things interest him that he couldn't care less about. You have to pretend because it makes that person happy. And it's Rachmanis that that person should feel alone. So you pretend. The same way you play with your children, your grandchildren, you pretend, wow, this is great and it's exciting, and you make a whole big deal. And of course, you're playing with the kids, but that pretending is a chesed, and you have in mind it's a chesed. But if you start to become a kid yourself, like somebody was telling me last year, a nephew of mine was telling me about that he was coaching with a little league somewhere for the little, and he said that there are like fellows that mamas like out of their minds, like humiliating another kid and talking crazy, like it's supposed to be a game, and you're supposed to be teaching the kids how to live an elevated life and have fun, play ball. But yelling at another, at the umpire, yelling at the other coach, and embarrassing and booing at the other kids, and it's like, what happened? What are you out of your mind? You never grew up. You really take this seriously? People throwing out a ball and pitting it. That's what you're here to give the kids a nice time and to pretend that that you're having fun and make the kids feel good, because they need that when they're kids. But like, if that was the case and you were just pretending and you really live in a higher world, then why are you acting more childish than any of the kids that are in the game? The terrace is, you're a big baby. You never left ground floor. You never grew up. You're some like 40-year-old guy with a pot belly that still wants to be in the little league. Or is dreaming about being to the big league or something. Like, you never moved to a higher floor. It's pathetic. You live on the same floor you lived when you were 16 years old. Yeah, the coach should cheer the kids on. What was seichel? Me and some chesed and how and what. You're acting like a kid. You're yelling at people, screaming and carrying on. This relative of mine told me that they had to have a father removed from the... They had to take him away. They had to forcibly carry him off away, a grown man. A grown man who is a yarmulke and puts on film. Had to take him away because of a little league game. Yisarim Yizu, the bottom of the page. Now comes the real shocker. We find in Chazal that Hashem is also sometimes attributed with this midah of Azarias. Tfilos Nishel Tzadikim, Ma'apeches Daitos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Azarias, the Midas Achmanis. Gemara says that the davening of Tzadikim is so powerful, is able to turn around Hashem from the Midas Achzarias to the Midas Rachmanis. From showing cruelty to showing kindness and compassion. The Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Midas Hadin appears to us as Achzarias. And the davening of Tzadikim can turn things around from Achzarias to Rachmanis. That's the Gemara Sukkah. Ech ev sholem achas Hashem sheyesh lo boi Achzarias? What does that mean? Hashem is Achzarias? Mehech minavas? Where is Hashem's? What does that mean? The Chazaris back in Shvaruch, where does that come from? What does that mean? Page Kofman. Kamovan, Shihi Enen and Novas, Chalila Mikriva, Shihi Yisod Alpha. Hashem's Chazaris not coming from the coldness of the Yisod of dirt, of Alpha. From anger, from lack of caring, Chas Shalom, from coldness of the dirt. El Eshar Shekiv Yochel B'daz. The decision that Hashem made. Remember that Midos are called Deos, and that Hashem doesn't lose control of himself. That means if Hashem is showing a certain Midah right now, it's because he has the Da, that's his Das of the Midah that should be now. That's his thought process. That's his opinion. Midos are Deos when they're healthy. It's not just, I don't know what got over me. It's a Das. It doesn't come from the Kriyas that Hashem feeling cold towards this person, because this person like didn't put on tefillin this morning, so now Hashem's reacting, and Hashem is cruel to him. Hashem has deus. Kivyachal b'daz. We have daz the kedusha shetam l'chacham. So Elias Achazari, I want to carry it. The same way. It's not that Tatam l'chacham is lacking love for his children. How come he doesn't stand around the whole day playing with the kids? Why is he sitting in the mismeasures? It's not because he doesn't feel love for his children. He doesn't feel connected to his children. But this is a day that he has, a das, and his das tells him that my job here in this world is, of course I spend a little time with the kids playing, but my das here in this world dictates to me, my das dictates to me, that in order for me to accomplish what I need to accomplish in life, I can't come home and play with the kids all day. I have to be in the mismeasures. I have to say, it's the same thing with work. That my das tells me that I'm not going to make a living if I sit at home all day playing with the kids. It's not that I'm cruel. It's not that there's a meter that I'm cruel. I walked away from my kids. How could I leave my kids? Don't they need their father around to play with them and to talk to them and to take them to the ice cream store? What do you mean? I love them like any father. But my das dictates that I better get to work. Or else I'm not going to have to pay for the ice cream. I'm not going to have to pay for school. So that's what my das tells me. It's das. It's not that Hashem, Chalila, or the Talmud Chacham is mean. Sometimes the Talmud Chacham acts in a way that can be interpreted as distant or cold or mean. And sometimes Hashem acts in such a way because of what he knows to be the way to act. Hashem can act in such a way that appears to be distant. Now the tzaddikim have the ability to call upon Hashem to accomplish what he wants to in the world using a different meter. But we're not going through right now how that works. But Hashem's achzarius isn't like he's mean, God forbid. Yeshna hanhagas al kesbokhi hanhaga kreva. There are times that Hashem conducts himself in a way towards us where we feel him close. And zunikos rachamim. And we feel, Hashem, you're empathizing with me. You're helping me out. You get me. You're close to me. Kerachim of Abonim. So there are other times that Hashem conducts himself as distant and removed. This tefisa of how we're experiencing Hashem at this moment, I'm davening, this person is dying, I'm davening to you, and I don't see him getting better. So the tefisa that one could have is one of Achzarius. Like you could say, Rabbi Shalom, How could you not help me here? Like, I'm asking for so long. I'm davening to you. So you feel an achzarius. Kilo Hashem is zar. Like he's distant from you. He made himself a stranger. Yishkan zarus. Kivyoch HaShbaruch nivdol me'olamo. HaShbaruch seems to have disappeared from me'olamo. From Hashem HaShbaruch seems to have disappeared from the world that he occupied together with you. Hashem seems to have disappeared from that world. Kedoshim tiyu yochel kamon kamlov kedoshim kedushasi l'malam kedushaschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, my kedusha is higher than your kedusha. Hashem lives on a different floor, right? Hashem occupies a different space. So it's going to happen that from Hashem's place to our place, we're going to feel that he's far. When we feel that he's with us and he's answering my tefillahs and it's cozy and he's then we're so thrilled and we say, wow, it's so nice, Hashem, you're not being a stranger to us. Come on, make yourself comfortable, Hashem is Bach. We feel your mamish with us. We feel that you're one of us. But then there are times that Hashem seems to us to be cold and distant. I'm davening, what? We're nothing. Because Hashem be'etzim, of course, is nizdal me'olam. Hashem is not this world. Everything is Hashem. Hashem is everything. But Hashem is be'etzim beyond this world. He created this world. We don't get that, how he did that. But he isn't this world. He's nizdal me'olam. His kedusha is l'malam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved from Udam Yitam. He's be'etzim. Hashem is separate from us. He's distant from us. He's not mean. He's different. he has a different mahalach. The same with the Talmud Chacham is not being mean to his kid by staying in the Beis Medrash those hours. Well, the father's not being mean to his kid by going to work. It's not coming from coldness. It's not coming from a lack of love or sympathy. He occupies a different world. That's not his world, sitting in the playground with his kid. That's not his world. He visits that world. That's not his world. That's the Hashem that's moved first, moved on the Yitanum, moved on Huzar, Vizuvah, Gershon, Zar. And therefore, we see Chazal could use a certain word, that Hashem will conduct himself in a way that appears to us to be a way of Achzarius. And Dodonach is crying all the time. Rochag me, Shagasi, you know, why are you so far from my crying? Are you so far from me? In other words, I'm feeling you as somebody who's a stranger. I'm experiencing Hashem as somebody who's distant and strange. Doesn't mean God forbid that he is. The Mamakeh HaNefesh, Tzarech Shiyu Lo Odom Rachamim Shetiyu Lo Gam Achzarius. In terms of our Avodas Hashem, in terms of who we are in our Midas, a person has to have within him Rachamim, Rachmanis, but he also has to have Achzarius. He also has to have Achzarius. Elam Bivei Azar HaKadosh, Shekol Midas Rachamim, She'en Bo Kinnah, Ke'kinnas Pinchas, En Rachma Midas. If you have Rachmanis, but you also don't have with the Rachmanis the Midah of Pinchas to say, no, this is not the right time to have Rachmanis, then that's not called Rachma Midah. That's not called Rachma Midah. I had this. There was this fascinating conversation I had with my parents yesterday that something came up about some. I don't want to talk about what this particular strange affair was that a young man had done. It came up, not a particularly young man by name, but something that, I don't want to talk about what it was because it could offend people, but it was a certain, very, very, very strange thing. When I get off the phone, I'll tell you. It's a very strange thing. And I'm sitting with my parents, and my father said, even though it's so harsh to talk lately, he said, so I said to my father that I was asked by the boy's parent, like, how should I handle this? That's what the boy's father asked me. And my father said, no, what did you say? So I said to my father that I told this father that Sof Kol Sof, he's your son. And what are you going to do? You're going to throw him out? My father says, yeah, absolutely, throw him out. I said, what? My father said, out. He said, that's not a son that could do such a thing. That's not who I brought to the world. My father's the nicest person in the world. Out. And my mother never disagrees with my father. And I mean, all the years, I can't remember, maybe two or three times. But my mother gave me a certain look, and my mother leaned over and said, I understood it, though, but what she was saying, it wasn't my language, but she said, but my mother said that that's this, it's his child. My son said that that's his child. My father said, no, it's not his child. I think maybe the older age, I don't know if he would hear, but he said, that's not his child. That's not his child. That's not a Jew. That's not a child. My mother said, well, honey, but it is his child. And I just said to my mother, I looked at my mother, I said, no, leave it. My father's getting upset about it. That's a child? What kind of child is that? Who does such a thing? My father would never throw anybody out. But in his way of thinking, you know, I spoke to my wife about it when I came home, and that to be able to have a combination of Rachmanis and Achzarius, see, you have to have both. And that's what the Zohar is saying. And I guess that's what my father is saying. So that I don't want to disagree with my father, but in this particular situation, I don't think that it's the right mahalach, but I didn't say that to my father. I just was quiet. But, you know, al tehi tzadik harbeh, and don't be such a big rasha, don't be such a big tzadik. What it means is that sometimes a parent is going to appear distant and cold to a child. Because if you agree with everything the child is asking for, and you go along with everything the child wants, so there's that's really achzarius. So when Chazal tells us, when the Zohar says, you have to be bad, some Jew has to have rachman, but it also has to have a sprinkling of the kinah of Pinchas, you know. Not just, the world's not hefka. It's not hefka. I think it's not, there's no boundaries, there's no achzarius, there has to also be an achzarius. You're going to do now, everybody has to do what everybody else is pleased with. Like, you can't do anything anybody else would disagree with. Okay. Yeah, you have to be completely correct, politically correct. Everybody has to be, you say something, you say, no, I don't think that's a good thing. Like, what's that? You're disagreeing with me? You're not validating me? You're making me feel not validated? You're making me feel bad? Yeah, I disagree with you. I think it's a mistake. If you don't have this Pinchas in you, you're not even being. You can't be a Talmud Chacham. You really can't be a Bechlal, a Ben Ali, or a Yid. If it's just Rachmanis. Talmud Chacham, Adam Shechai B'Chachma. But the Talmud Chacham is Chai B'Chachma. Das. And Das dictates that right now, I have to say goodbye to my kids and go to learn. Rachmanis says, stay for another few minutes. Das says no. Well, Adam Shechai B'Chachma, he nazar la'olam ha'chaymer, and the person who really lives in the world of Das and the Chachma will often appear to be a stranger to the world. And he will feel himself that the world is strange, that there's a strangeness to the world. Azu achzer. And then Mimela, you would interpret his distance or his disappearance from playing in the playground with the kid as being achzar, as being cruel. I was once playing softball on a Sunday, and we decided we were having a doubleheader. My father came by in the car to pick me up, and he said, you know, it's a bad thing, like when you're in left field and your father, you know, whatever. So, all right, that's how we did in those days. There was some arguing, and my father said, and I went to the car, and I said, what is it? Where are we going? He said, I'm not going anywhere. I said, so why do you come? He said, well, you're already here for 3-4 hours. Are you going to play the rest of your life over here? He said, how much do you want to be in the playground? I was around 17, whatever. So he's like, what are you going to be here all day? That was it. Just went home. You know, and nowadays you can't do that kind of stuff. But I for me, it was an important lesson. I wasn't angry. I mean, I felt bad about not continuing on, but I got what he was saying. He wasn't doing like we're having a chinuch moment. My father didn't do that. It was just, what are you doing here all day? And he asked my mother, unless he's in the playground, you know, whatever the father is. That's who he is since 9 o'clock in the morning. It's already 1 o'clock. Enough already. The same way he would walk in with the television going, he would just walk in and turn it off. Just turned off. Walked in. But it wasn't like, you see, now if you do that, then it's like it's a horrible choice in chinuch. But it was never a personal Indian. It was never at all, like, it was just, what's the matter with you? Like, no, that's not how a person lives. And my job is to try to make you into a match. And you're sitting in on television for 10 hours. It's not normal. And when something's not normal, you end it. And that was it. So, therefore, we find that tzaddikim through the generations that to the world appear to be cruel. But on the other hand, if you have a Talmud Chacham and his wife, Taka, there's something going on, she's not feeling well, and he doesn't need this medrash, stops. Where's your Rachmanis? There's no Rachmanis. Or if your wife is going through a hard time or a difficult tkufa or whatever, or she had a kid, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Why aren't you helping out? Why aren't you? You can't. You have no Rachmanis. Yeah, that's a Talmud Chacham. That's not Talmud Chacham either. You have a lot of that also going on nowadays. What's the matter with you? Where's your Rachmanis? Somebody needs you, you have no Rachmanis. A person has to have love. We can move on to love, Ladaz. וכמובן, עליו לדעת להשתמש בכל מידה בכל הנוכן. You have to learn to use what? You just rach in both and yourself the style of abuse. You have to be part of the world and you have to be with other people, even though you feel like a stranger to the world. But you have to, because that's your family, you have to be part of it. ומי זה תחזר, so it's just not, but you also have to know when, oh, this is too much, I'm going too far, I got to get out of here. Because this is not my world. כדוגמא מה שמסביב, מה שבנו, מה שיקח את הסוף, ונעת פעם חוס למחן, מה שבנו, moved out of the camp. After the whole mice, he moved out of the camp. Who yatsa chutzo? Hayitzim and ha'ele ma'amidah sa'adam ba'ofen sha'afila shabona ba'im l'vakish me'anu shalom lachem, ba'im Lahem, Allah's Lagam, Allah Khamani Rakas. Hagdam must be first toys at Sadiqim that the kids are hungry and the father says to the kid, take care of yourself. Now, go to the riverside and pull out some stuff and munch on some grass or something. You know, there are very few people like that, but there are stories, some stories like the Sadiqim. Give a gemara of Yochel and Achrayalam, Val Kiyulam, or the Midrash, which is the Kilkulam Chazal, she is the Ochish Yehusa. Again, a person has to be very careful. This is only from a very, very big people. If a person, Stam is not that kind of a person, he's not such a bomb dragon, and he tells his kid, go find yourself something to eat, and he's, it's a chsari. Everybody is different. In the deep level, that's the meaning of the word achzar. Gam ach, even though it's the ches, that's the chaf, but he's also, the ches and the chaf you could change. Says he's also a brother. In other words, I hear you, I'm with you, I have Rachmanis, Abu Gamzar, but he also knows that this isn't, that he's a stranger. He's a stranger. So the coach on the baseball team, that goes nuts and starts yelling at the other coach and starts pushing the umpire in the little league competition. He's not a stranger to the Little League. He's not a stranger to boys playing baseball. He's a 40-year-old guy that never grew up. That's all. That's his world. His world is the baseball field. And that's why those guys, I have no doubt in my mind that they carry on with their wives too, and they carry on in other ways too. Yeah. If you're screaming at kids, and you're screaming at an umpire, the Little League, and you're pushing like crazy things, it means that's your world. I mean, the world of being an adult is a strange world to you. And there's no question in my mind that guy's wife must have a lot of tzaras in him. No question. If he's pushing around an umpire, if he's pushing or he's yelling at some sixth grader that some horrible thing or bullying him on the field or something, it means that he never left that world of being a sixth grader. Not even that. It could be that the sixth grader is looking at him like, oh, what's with this guy? You know, he's supposed to be an adult. We're just kids. Because that's the world that he occupies. He never left that world. He's not a stranger to the Little League. He's totally at home in the Little League. He's totally at home. That's his world. And that's pathetic. That a 40-year-old person should feel at home being in a Little League game. That's pathetic. You should feel that you go to the Little League, because you love the children and you want to give them a good time. Not, how could you pull my kid out? That's pathetic. That means that you actually are in this world. You feel that this is your world, the Little League game. You're not a visitor. You feel this is your world. It's pathetic. It's Rachmanis. It's Rachmanis. Person has to know what world he occupies, and to feel strange if he's not in his world. You still have to act and conduct yourself in a way that's meaningless with everybody. But you're a czar. Zui achzarius ba'omka. That's the tikkun. That's the higher. That's achzarius the kedusha. Today we're talking about Azarius of holiness, Azarius the Kedusha. She calls for such as Arach, Racham, Yachad, and Azarius, and Azarius with Tzivu of Rachmanis. It means Azarius, it doesn't mean that you're a mean person, you're the nicest person in the world. But in order to be a Baldas, an intelligent, mature person, you're Mitzarif that with the Midah of Rachmanis. Rachmanis with Azarius. Next week we're going to talk about the Midah of Sinner, of hatred.